Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of 1000 Years of Beer, the podcast from Weinstephan, the world's oldest brewery.
Well, welcome everybody. We are here in our museum again, and today we talk about a special topic, like we always do, special topics everywhere.
We only have special topics.
And this is about our collaborations, our collabs with countries and breweries from all over the world, because we think it's really something special to us that we have so many good friends in the brewing scenery all over the world, so many talented, very, very talented brewers who have been with us for decades. And we would just like to give you a better idea of how these collabs develop over time, how picky we are with our partners in this case. And but first of all, let's start at the very, very beginning to see what is a collaboration. Just give us a short definition for that.
Well, collaborations in the beer industry are actually a thing coming out of the craft beer movement, where two breweries or more breweries come together on a common recipe, but design and develop a recipe together, a new beer, and brew it and sell it together. And in most cases, it's two breweries that collaborate together, or it could also be some more. And this is a common thing to do in the craft beer community. And and also from time to time, Weinstephan is doing a collaboration with a partner, most likely in the export markets, so in the international market. But also we had already a collaboration once here sold in Germany, actually two projects, 2011 and 2018. 2011 with Sam Adams, Boston Breweries, the Infinium. And in 2018 with Sierra Nevada from Chico, California, hoppy wheat beer, the so-called Braupakt. And those were two very big projects. We sold all over the world in more than 30 countries, actually.
Wow.
And and also we do then sometimes smaller projects. They are very local. And that are also part of our DNA or whatever you want to call it, or of our international work to collaborate with local partners to develop beers together, to learn from those partners, and also to learn how beer is seen and tasted and drunk in other countries and other cultures.
Different approaches to the product?
Absolutely, 100%, yeah.
So what were the most recent projects, just to give the people a short overview?
Well, we had in the last 1.5 years kind of a lot of projects, because due Corona and COVID, we kind of needed to postpone a lot of ideas and projects, also cancel some that are not back yet. But there were three projects in the last, I would say, 18 months, that we followed that were also very different. Very different projects, different countries and markets, and where we did very, very different things. And one was in Norway with Nugne, which is a local craft beer brewery in Norway. One we did in Estonia, in the Baltics, in Tallinn, with the Pöhala brewery. And one we did in the United States, in New England, with Jack Sabby Brewing from Boston, or close to Boston, Framingham. And three different beers, three different approaches, and very different projects we did, and they were all fun and all very special.
So what kind of beers did you brew there, if you say that's, that those were very special?
Actually, we did a... Let's start with the, I would say, most crazy one, or from our perspective, most crazy one. For the brewery, we brewed it together. It was actually kind of their daily business. But it's always the perspective, you know? We are very classic Bavarian brewery with classic Bavarian styles and classic interpretations. And the Vechala Brewery in Tallinn in Estonia are a craft brewery that are doing very, very innovative, exotic, and sometimes I would say, or need to say, crazy things from the perspective of a German brewer.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, very, very good and very interesting, complex and great products. And with them, we did together a strong beer with a very special yeast, a very special high alcohol fermenting yeast, and a dark beer that we then also matured in wooden barrels, in port wine barrels for more than 8 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And this was for us a very uncommon technique because we do not do barrel aging here. Actually, also in the modern history of the brewery, we never did it. Of course, the monks did it because they matured their beers in wooden barrels, but not in the modern history of wine, Stefan. And these are some techniques. Also, we don't brew that strong beers, like more than 11-12% of alcohol. And so this was actually a project where we could learn technique-wise very, very much from Pechala and their brew crew. And this was a very interesting project because there we were kind of students where we tried to soak up as much as possible from their experience because they do a lot of barrel aging. Mm. Also their approach on how to pick which kind of wood and which kind of pre-liquid in the barrel. Like, do we need whiskey or will we do gin barrels or whatever? And then they were like, oh, I guess it should be best wine, like kind of barrique barrels and Bordeaux, and then they decided to go with port wine, mm-hmm. yeah, and stuff like that. And this was highly interesting, and the techniques they worked with, this was absolutely fantastic. So this was one project. The other project was then also a dark strong beer, but a more classic interpretation. It was a dark wheat beer, dark wheat Doppelbock, which we did with Nygne in Norway. Because Christmas beers are very popular and very famous in Norway. And the Norwegian craft breweries or breweries release special beers every year for Christmas. And this is kind of a beer tradition there. And for last year's Christmas, we brewed together dark wheat Doppelbock.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkler Weizenbock. Doppelweizenbock. And also here we got a special yeast. So the yeasts are mostly coming here from the yeast center from Technical University Munich. And there we also had a special yeast that brought wonderful fruity Easter flavors and a little bit phenolic flavors, but a lot of Easters, also kind of cherry and red and dark berry flavors into it. And
all thanks to Dr. Hutzler from the yeast center.
But maybe let's talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But there we did a dark wheat Doppelbock, and which also was very complex, which was kind of strong, kind of heavy too, but not as the barrel HB, of course. And but more than I expected drinkable. So it has also quite a drinkability, the beer. And the last recent project was actually more common or relatable beer. We did a Fest beer with Czech Sabi in Boston, pale lager Fest beer. That we brewed and sold in New England.
So these are the three most recent projects. How was the approach there? Because we do get a lot of requests. Like, can we do a collaboration with you?
I can imagine.
Probably, like every other week, there's a bunch of emails coming in.
And also at the festivals or at the meetings or whatever, then brewers
approach us. Yeah,
and they're like, oh, you're from Wine Stefan. Oh my God, we would love to do something with you together and whatever.
Right.
So we get a lot of
A little bit through the process. Is it like a checklist that everybody needs to fulfill basically, or is every approach different?
It's very different. Every approach and the background story is very different. And actually in the end, it must be a real story. You know, in the end, it must be a story that's the people think, yeah, that's relatable, that makes sense. You know, it must be a real background that we do something together, not just a common, oh, we met together, we got drunk five beers, and now we decided to make a collab together. Yeah. No, not that way. We are not doing that way. So all those projects has a long history, actually, and also some different approaches and background stories. So the first thing is actually that we need to see or do that collabs are more or less my responsibility in the brewery, because I'm out there, I'm in the countries, I'm in the markets. I'm gonna see the breweries, I'm gonna make up my mind on the products there. So I'm gonna see the brewery, I'm gonna taste all the products first, and because when you go as a brewer through another brewery and take a tour and look everywhere, then you see very quick, is this something that matches our ideas of brewing beer and our quality and how they are working, and is this something we want to collaborate with?
Yeah.
And I've also did a lot of brewery tours, especially in the craft segment, where we were like, great stuff, whatever, awesome, but I would not do maybe a collaboration with them if they would ask me. You know, maybe they need 5-10 more years to develop before they are ready to do something like that, you know?
So it's a combination, basically, of some must-haves and some individual criteria.
Yeah, absolutely. And but if the basic criteria is like the quality they are producing, the equipment they have, the standards in hygiene and quality and process standards they have, if this is something that matches with us and where we think, hey, this is something where we can work together, then on the other side, also the common idea for the beer is very important. What we want to brew together, because the beer always needs to reflect something that is representing both brands and both breweries and both philosophies and both histories or both brewing traditions. So what do each brand bring to the table? And this is also something very important. Both breweries need to be recognized in the product by the customers. So this is also a common idea of what we are wanting to brew and to produce. And then also, in the end, also is very important that the common relationship we have with them. So actually, we do not do collabs with breweries we don't have a relationship with. Yeah? So we don't start relationships because of the collab.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So like those three products or those three processes, we did together are all very different stories behind that. For an example, Nügne is a craft beer brewery that is connected or owned by the importer of Wine Stefan in Norway. So the company that imports Wine Stefan in Norway is connected to Nügne Brewery, so they are owned by it.
And
the other way around, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
If Nügne owns the company that imports us, or it's the other way around. Actually, I was not that observant on that. But yeah, doesn't matter. So we have a very long relationship with the company because they're importing Wine Stefan beers more than 10 years, I would say, or even longer. So we have a very great and trustworthy relationship with them business-wise. And then we said, hey, let's do something together just because of the loyalty and the long history we have with them. And they are representing our beers in Norway so good, and they're such great partners, so that we want to give something back in that case. After they asked us to do something together, we were like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And with the project in Estonia, with Pöchala, we actually don't have a business relationship with them, but our importer has knows them very well, and Pöchala is hosting and organizing one of the, I would say, most important and impactful craft beer trade shows and craft beer festivals here in Europe, in Tallinn every year, the Tallinn Craft Beer Weekend, which is an amazing festival where you only can get there when you are invited. And so we have been invited once, which was a great thing. And then we did a collab together because we wanted to say, hey, this is something where we can have a great start into this scenery up there in the Baltics and in the Scandinavians. Especially with Pohjola, they are highly sophisticated and also experimental brewery. So actually we are kind of the complete opposite when it comes to that. And that makes the project so interesting. The two so opposite brands are working together on a common beer. And this was also, the story behind it. You know, it was kind of the idea of doing something that never would expect.
Yeah.
And with Jack's Abbey, it was actually a brewer's romance, like about nearly 6 years ago. My first business trip to the United States was in Boston, and we did tap their Weinstephan Festbier keg at Stoddart's, a bar that didn't survive, unfortunately, COVID, in Boston downtown. And our distributor in Boston did a series of events called Old World Meets New World. And there was our Festbier and Copper Legend, the Festbier of Jack's Abbey. And at that event, we tapped the Weinstephan Festbier keg, and Jack Handler, one of the owners and the brewmaster of Jack's Abbey, assisted me tapping the keg. We drank a few beers together, and he invited me for the next day to visit the brewery. We went there to Framingham. I spent the whole day at Jack's Abbey. We drank all the beers. We talked a lot about beer making, beer history. We had great food. We had just a great day together. And over the years, Jack visited four times Weinstephan, and we had really good times here. I went then also four or five times in Boston, where we met together. The event series was actually pretty successful. And actually, the first 3-4 years, it was just a brewer's friendship. And also, we hang out with Tobias. We hang out with the other guys from Jack's Abbey. It was just a great relationship. And 2 years ago, like, they were like, hey, maybe let's brew a beer together. Because, I mean, we know each other for so long, and why not? And I was like, yep. I tried to do my best to convince my colleagues in the brewery that we do that, and this was nothing to convince. I just pitched the idea, and they're like, yeah, we do it. And this project was then simply based on friendship, between personal friendship between me and Jack, but also then on the common shared values Jack's Abbey and Weinstephan has. Because Jack's Abbey is just focused on lager beers, German and Czech style lager beers, with an American twist, with a modern American craft interpretation. And they are so precise, and they're so detail orientated, and such a high quality demand that, of course, in the end, not just there was a personal friendship, maybe that started off with that, but then it became just a professional friendship between breweries because of the shared values of quality and, well, tradition, a little bit shorter tradition in the United States with Jack's Abbey, a little bit longer tradition of Weinstephan, of us here in Europe. But those are the three stories where we did it, you know, all very different, but all with great projects.
I was going to say, I mean, that's the thing, that there's not this one way to get a collaboration. It's so many different ways, and every case is treated individually. And it's tough for us because it must be a story there, and it's tough for us. And just so you guys understand a little bit more about it, it's tough for us to tell people no, but most of the time we tell people no.
Yeah.
Because
9 out of 10 times or even more.
Even more, probably like 99 out of 100 times, because it's just, we can't handle it.
Yeah, I mean, we need maybe 5 brewers just in the export department to travel just the world just for collabs when we want to satisfy all the requests. Yeah. But in the end, it must be something special. We need to keep it special, to keep it unique, and to keep it real.
Exactly.
So authenticity, credibility is so important in the project. And the story that we want to tell and the beers we want to brew need to represent the story and the two breweries. Like I said, everyone needs to bring something to the table that is making this project unique and makes it real. And we bring a lot to the table, that we bring the yeast and the yeast technology from the university here. So with Dr. Hutzler, we had a podcast in the last season with him.
Yes.
He's one of the world's leading beer yeast experts, I would say. And if we then have our first ideas on the beer, I just go then, you know, across the street to Hutzi in his office. I sit down with him, pitch him our idea, and he's immediately, okay, I have the yeast for you. And he's like managed to give us every time for every project the perfect yeast.
I have never seen a person in my life getting so excited about yeast than Hutzi.
Is it kind of a little bit weird actually, but also super cool.
Super cool. I mean, we had the greatest time recording the podcast with him. So if you guys haven't checked it out, it's in season 4. You just talked about authenticity, which is very important for us. Obviously, you're part of the strategic approach to a new beer, to a collab. You help or you co-create the recipe with the with the brewers in the other countries. Are you actually there for brewing the beer, or is it more of the strategic conceptual work beforehand?
That's the most important thing, you know, like designing the recipe, what the outcome should be. And then our sales and marketing team helps us also to create packaging and label and marketing and POS and whatever. I'm a little bit more in concepting the big picture, you know, making the concept, you know, who to target with, what we want to create, what want we to represent with the beer and with the project, and how can we bring the both ideas and the both identities of the breweries into a beer.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. And then we try to create a recipe or a beer idea, a beer design, a beer process. How do we also, not just in taste, but also with the processes to combine our two heritages? I can give you an example, especially for the beer we brewed together with Jack's Abbey. We also tried to represent our breweries with the techniques we brewed it. Mm-hmm. Like that we used for the mashing for the beer, a double decoction, like it's classic here in Bavaria or in Weihenstephan.
Yeah.
And very uncommon in the US to use a double decoction for lager beers. And so Jack's Abbey did it. And also the horizontal maturation of the beer, so that the beer is matured at 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees of Fahrenheit in horizontal lager tanks for at least 30 days. So it was a classic German Bavarian technique. And then other techniques that we're representing are more embarking or more techniques from Jack's Abbey, like the cool pool hopping, where they used a special hopping technique that's nothing we do very much, or at least don't do here in Weihenstephan, which is the thing that Jack's is doing a lot. And so he brought in the hopping technique from his side. So this is also technological. We try to represent and use both techniques to learn from each other, of course. Yeah? And then on the other side, also from the raw materials, we try to kind of combine, you know. So we were using, of course, again, Jack's Abbey, the water in Framingham, because we cannot bring the water to the US. But he used Bavarian malt and the yeast here from the yeast center in Stefan. Also very unique and new technology, the freeze yeast. That was the first time used in the United States. It's a very new technology here from the university, where you can have actually pitch-ready yeast, and you get it in a frozen package, and then you can more like directly use it without the big propagation. And so this is actually worked also very well. And so that's mostly we bring the yeast to the table, what we just talked with Matthias Hutzler then. And then he supplies the yeast to our partner. So he then makes the yeast as a mostly liquid culture, mm-hmm. sends it to our partner brewery and gives them a best practice how to pitch it, how to propagate it, and how to use the yeast, you know, which temperature, which pH, whatever. And what to take care of. And this is something we bring very often in collaborations to the table, our connection and our good relationship with the university and with the yeast center, so to bring the Weihenstephan yeast part to this project. Especially for the project in Estonia, where we brewed this barrel-aged, mm-hmm. super strong beer. This, there we had a very special, very rare yeast that Matthias Hutzler pitched to us. He said, this is something we don't use very often, and he needs to put it out of the freezer and you know, propagate it up so that we can use it. But he said there's a very special alcohol-tolerating beer yeast that can ferment to a very high alcohol level, which is very uncommon. And but it worked perfectly for the purposes we had, you know. And this was very, very interesting and very cool, actually. And so we try with raw materials, but also with brewing techniques to represent both worlds, you know, the Weinstephan way of brewing and the Weinstephan Yeast Center and our connection to the university, to also bring some scientific ideas to the project, and also the local culture, the local things that our partner in the country is famous for, is known for, and try not just to bring two brands together, but also two philosophies of beer brewing and two cultures of beer brewing.
So it's a little bit of a give and take. I mean, we
100%.
We bring our expertise to the table. They bring their expertise to the table. So it's more of a knowledge exchange to some extent.
100%,
everybody learns from the other person.
Yes.
And I think that's the main takeaway from these collabs. Just to, you know, to, because bottom line, it's not a financial thing.
No. Actually, I mean, we don't earn any euro with those projects because we don't brew it and we don't sell it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I go there, you know, I'm be there at brewing, I'll be there maybe at release or promoting the beer. So in the end, you know, the costs or the earnings go directly into the costs, because such like special labor, special glasses,
it's a lot
whatever.
Of money. I mean,
you need to spend a lot of money. Most likely it's a plus minus zero thing, you know. And in the end, the money you make out of it, you directly reinvest into promoting it, because you need to see such things not as a fun project, more as a marketing project. Yeah. To make some noise, you know, on the street, to work on the credibility of your brand, of your both brands you're representing. But yeah, it's not about making money.
Yeah.
It's
So we talked about what everybody brings to the table.
Yeah.
Let's take another step further. We learned about all these different approaches. We learned about all these different beer cultures. How would you say, can you characterize all these brewers from around the world? Do they all have the same passion? Are they all equally crazy about their product? You've gotten to know so many people now, not only through collabs, but of course, you get a deeper insight when you brew with them. How would you say, well, are those people like?
There is a common thing. I mean, you become a brewer because you like beer, you love beer. Yeah, brewer is a very special and dedicated job.
Yeah.
I always remember there a friend of mine I started with, you know. He was at one point, we learned together for a very hard test, you know, and he was kind of really pissed, because it was like really like pisses him off, you know, doing that and investing all the time. And he was just tired because of 12 hours of learning and making calculations and whatever. And he was like, dude, if we would like maybe invest all our engineering and natural sciences and all that we learn here, we do here, maybe for IT or for the automotive industry, we would like make double the money than we would make in our brewing industry. And maybe he's right, you know, if he would be an IT engineer and he would put all his like talents in mathematics and then works for one of the big IT companies, he would definitely make double or even more money than that. But in the end, he did not quit it. He's not now working for Google or Apple. He's now working for a brewery. He's now a brewmaster, you know. He loves what he's doing. And this is what unites brewers all over the world. You love your product and
passion.
You love what you do. It's a passion. You don't become a brewer because of, oh, I'm good in math. I'm good in biology. I'm good in genetics. I'm good in chemistry. I'm good in mechanical engineering. I like to work in the wet and cold. let's become a brewer, because this seems the logic way, you know. If you have all those natural sciences talents today, you know, you would basically become an engineer for something different, you know, and not for beer. But you love it or not. And this is what unites the people. And with every other brewer, and I had this common understanding on we love beer, we love this industry, we love that product. And when we do and met on a collab, let's do the best. Let's make just a beer that, that we both love and that represents the breweries we work for and we put our heart and passion in. And actually, with the Czech Savvy collab, it started off that way. It started off the way that Czech and me were just two beer buddies, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
That left you hang out together, talk shop about
beer. You just hit it off.
I mean, that's and drink beer together, of course, most likely. And then in the end, we were in a lucky situation that we could make this project together, which represented not just our both breweries, also represented in many ways the people who we are and our common understanding. Because Czech and me, we have a very strong common understanding on quality and what the beer tastes. And this was so cool. And that what I loved about the project so much is that in my head, I imagined how the beer should taste. Sometimes it's so hard to describe it with words, you know, to verbalize what you wanted to have in taste. But I always had the feeling that Czech thinks and has the same idea in his head, but also sometimes it's hard to say what we want. And then the end when we had the first trial, so I was May this year in Boston, Czech has a 50-liter, like, half-barrel trial system where he did a few batches and then we tasted them. And then we had common understanding immediately which of those trials were the best one, but it was not perfect. And then we were like, hey, we need to you know, like increase that hop a little bit and whatever. And then we kind of adapted the process and the recipe a little bit. In the end, the final product I had then here in Freising when he came over for this year's Volksfest in September and had a suitcase with the beer with him. And then I opened the first can and I drank it and it was perfect. Yeah. It was 100% how I, in my head, imagined that beer should be tasting. You know, this fest beer with a Bavarian malty body, but an American slight hoppiness, fruity hoppiness, not bitter.
Yeah.
It's like kind of not dry hop, not too harsh, just like slightly subtle. It was, you know, it's hard to describe it in the end. And even if English is not my mother language, you know, then it's even harder to describe someone else to because if you don't have something comparable on that point, you know, was it like that? Because we don't want it to make something like something that already existed.
It should be unique.
Yeah. And I was like, I cannot forget Jack's face when he was like, looking at me when I tasted first the beer, you know, and it was so good and it was absolutely perfect in my opinion how I imagined this. And this was then the final proof, and we just had the common understanding because brewers are like, at some point, the same.
Yeah, brothers, sisters.
Brothers, sisters, whatever. Just people in an industry, in a business, where they're in because they love and they like it, because they make something that in the end people want to make people happy. I always quote one of my best friend, Florian. Greetings to Florian Perschel. He's working for a big hop supplier. Also great person. We work together at the university. We study together. We're good friends. And he once said a sentence that moved me. Someone asked him, why do you want to become a brewmaster? Why do you become a brewer? And he said, because I wanted to make people happy. And in the first, nobody understands it. What kind of quote or phrase is this? This doesn't make sense. And he says, I want to make good beer or help people make good beer. Yeah. And good beer makes people happy. And then in the end, this also makes sense.
It makes sense, definitely.
And it made me happy, you know, or also Jack, that when he saw how I like the beer, you know, he was immediately like, yes, we did it. You know,
he's
happy. I was happy. A lot of our customers were happy. So they were in 2 weeks, the beer was sold out. It was great. And the events in Boston, we had like so much fun there. The people were like so appreciative for the project we did. The two brands fit so well together because we We are not like kind of competing in the same market. We are just like next to each other in the same market, kind of helping us because it was just great, and it was one of the projects I'm most proud of. I'm proud of all the collabs we did, but this was something very special for me because this was the first time we designed a beer where I was like, oh, I don't want to learn something new. Like Pichala was something where I want just to learn, you know, how to barrel age it, how to make that and those super strong beers, how to create that, because I don't have that much experience on that. And so I just wanted to learn from them. You know, I was like craving for all the knowledge and the experience, you know. And with Czech Zebi and with the Fest of Both Worlds, it was the first time where we don't needed to make a compromise, or I personally, as private Matthias, I don't needed to make any compromise on how the beer tastes. It was like from the beginning a project or a beer design where I was like 100% like how I wanted to make that beer. Yeah. And Czech was on the same boat, and the breweries were on the same boat, and in the end this was where I'm like, I would say the most proud of so far. Even all the craft work, all the handwork, all the, you know, brewing was Jack and his brew crew in Framingham, you know. I was just like giving in my 2 cents, you know, on the recipe and everything. But the work, how it tastes, how good it is in the end, this was Jack and Jack's Abbey. And this is also showing why we partnered with them, because they're such a terrific brewery with such high quality standards and such great products they brew. They really know how to brew. Thank you.
So I think you guys have gotten a pretty good idea how we approach collaborations all over the world, what's important to us, why we have to say no in a lot of cases. And if
you see some of, maybe in the future, some collab with Weinstefan out there, then you can be really sure that we really took this serious.
Exactly.
And put a lot of effort, time, and experience and know-how into this.
It's never just take our logo and do stuff with it.
Yeah.
It's never this.
Or never random. It's always something special for us. And you can be sure about that when you see a Weinstefan collaboration.
Exactly. And we'll leave you with that. Thank you very much for listening. And
thank you, guys.
We'll hear from you next time.
Bye-bye.
See you around. Bye.